Coming up on today's episode, we got Miami Dolphins talk, NFL talk, actually a whole bunch of NFL talk for you guys here today as free agency started up yesterday. And man, some big time moves, some big time names going to different places. A lot of deals went down. I'm definitely getting into a whole bunch of those, breaking a lot of those down, talking about those three trades that happened over the past week and getting my perspective on it. Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, and Khalil Mack going to the Chargers. Man, a lot to talk about for sure. And how about the Miami Dolphins, though? Bringing back Emmanuel Agba, signing Chase Edmonds, Teddy Bridgewater as a backup. And how about my favorite signing, Cedric Wilson, wide receiver from the Dallas Cowboys, joining the Miami Dolphins. I have a lot of great things to say about him in particular, so stay tuned for that. And then, obviously, we end things off with some Miami Heat and NBA talk, as we always do. A lot of great things to talk about there, and especially some big performances over the past week. Klay Thompson with 38, LeBron James dropping 50. Man, this is definitely a fun podcast. But before we start, I want to give a special shout out to friend of the podcast, Eric Aponte. His son, Miles, is going to the championship next week here. Actually, it's this week for basketball. So shout out to Miles. Best of luck in your championship game. Go get it done, my brother. But yeah, a lot of things to talk about and unpack here on the podcast today, just like I mentioned. So stay tuned and let's get right into it. Welcome, everybody, to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast, and we have a lot to unpack here today. Man, NFL free agency, crazy, crazy, crazy. And even the entire week last week, last time I spoke to you guys on the podcast, we broke down a whole bunch of different Q&As from Dolphin fans. And then shortly after that, we had a crazy busy week when it comes to the trade market. We talked about, trades with Russell Wilson going to Denver. We had Carson Wentz on the move. We had Khalil Mack on the move. And then, Aaron Rodgers announcing that he's coming back. Tom Brady saying, hey, I'm done from retirement. So listen, we're going to get into all that stuff. But how about the legal tampering period officially beginning yesterday? And that is when all those moves get agreed verbally. Obviously, it's not official till I believe tomorrow. From listening to my podcast, I'm the type of guy that I really, really celebrate when things are done officially, because you just never know what can happen. But still got to talk about these things. And there is a lot to talk about, a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving pieces, people going here, people going there. Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport was just getting refreshed on my Twitter feed throughout the day. But we're going to get into all of that. But let's just start off by saying what our Miami Dolphins did. And what we did was priority number one. What I absolutely said has to get done, what I was banging on the table for them to do, they took care of it, and they took care of it right away. And that is by bringing back pass rusher Emmanuel Agba. Absolutely a deal that had to be done. I've talked about this numerous times. You guys know, you Dolphin fans that know, and even NFL fans that are listening to this podcast, everyone knows how great of a pass rusher Emmanuel Agba has been and is going to continue to be, hopefully, and as a Miami Dolphin. So the Miami Dolphins locked him up, 4-year, $65 million deal, which is $32 million guaranteed. Man, absolutely, absolutely needed to be done. When you think about how important it is to get to the quarterback, how important pass rushing is, especially in today's game in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins have struggled with that recently. Ever since Cameron Wake left and Ndamukong Suh left, our ability to get to the quarterback was rare. And we did it 2 years ago. But last season, it wasn't to the level that I expected, at least. And that's because we didn't have too many pass rushers. But Emmanuel Agba was pretty much the only consistent guy that was constantly applying pressure to the quarterback. And obviously, we drafted a guy in Jalen Phillips, whose upside is tremendous, by the way. And I think he's going to be an excellent player. But besides him, you're asking a lot from him to take the entire load from a pass rushing perspective. So bringing back a guy like Agba was big time. And hey, you can't just have one guy pass rushing. So now, listen, having him, Jalen Phillips, Raekwon Davis, and Christian Wilkins, that front four right there, man, That's going to be fun to watch. So overall, I'm excited. Mike Gesicki signing the franchise tag. So all Dolphin fans, I know, are happy. I mean, I can't even count on my fingers the amount of times I hear Dolphin fans throughout the season, bring back Mike Gesicki, bring back Emmanuel Ogba, resign them. Hey, you guys got him back. You guys got them both back. And then right after that, now we get to make the moves. Let's go make some fun moves after that. And we sure did. Not even too far long after that, Dolphins signing running back Chase Edmonds, reaching a 2-year deal worth $12.6 million. That includes $6.1 million guaranteed. So, Chase Edmonds. Let me tell you something about Chase Edmonds. This guy, first of all, young, talented, and has played a couple years. This guy was on the Arizona Cardinals. You guys probably know him because he was next to Kenyon Drake at one point, and then last year next to James Conner. Or a lot of you guys might know him from fantasy football because he is a guy that can run, and he is a guy that can catch. So he can do a little bit of both things here. He's played 4 years only in the NFL, okay? So he has some experience. He's not raw. He has 4 years of experience. Age of 25 years old, 5'9", 209 pounds. Listen, this guy can pop. This guy has potential to be great. Mike McDaniel knows running backs like the back of his head, you know? So if he's able to pick this guy, he wants this guy, this 25-year-old running back in Chase Edmonds that can catch and run, there's got to be a vision there. He had 5.1 yards per carry last season. Mike McDaniel getting the running back he wants. When whoever the hell Mike McDaniel picks from here on out as a running back, I trust it. Way better than Coach Flo. I mean, Coach Flo would have signed fucking, who'd he sign? I mean, Malcolm Brown, fucking Jordan Howard. Jesus Christ. Like, at least we have a young, emerging, potential stud player here in Chase Edmonds. So I like the Dolphins taking a swing. I like that it's only a 2-year deal, $6.1 million guaranteed. I like it because there's upside there. There is definitely upside there. So, Miami Dolphins didn't stop there. You know, at this point, I'm waiting for my guy, Teron Armstead. You guys hear me talk about him on the podcast. We're going to need some offensive line help. And offensive line help is something we desperately need. Is if we want to get to the promised land, if we want to get to where we want to get to, and that's the playoffs, we got to protect Tua. And we have to have a running game. You got a running back now. He's a young player. Get the O-line. So I'm refreshing my phone. I'm saying, where's Armstead? Where's he going? And right now I'm recording this at 8:45 at night on the East Coast. And Armstead still hasn't signed anywhere. And I'm like, damn. But we'll see. Maybe, you know, with my luck, it'll probably break overnight or after I record this podcast. Hopefully it's to the Dolphins, fingers crossed. But the Dolphins, nonetheless, kept moving along, and they went and got themselves a backup quarterback. And it's Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who I really, really like, really, really respect. I love his upside. I love his chemistry with players. Also, heard great things about him. Obviously, learning a couple years under Drew Brees as well. He had a 3,000-yard season last year with Denver, 3,700 with Carolina the year before, 18 touchdowns last year, only 7 interceptions. Year before that, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. So, you know, not too good, but I do like Teddy Bridgewater. He's a great guy. He's a great locker room guy from what I hear, and also he can run. Okay, so kind of similar play styles to Tua. That's one thing I like. They did pay a little bit extra, but you know what? You never know. I mean, it sucks to say, but the way Tua's injuries have been in and out, you want to have a serviceable backup. Absolutely, 100%. I love the move. Love Teddy Bridgewater. Good job by the Miami Dolphins there. Then, this is right here. This next move right here that the Dolphins did is my favorite move, not counting Ogba. Favorite move thus far. Cedric Wilson, wide receiver from the Dallas Cowboys, signed a 3-year deal worth $22.8 million. That's $12.75 million guaranteed. Man, let me tell you something. This guy, Cedric Wilson, is a legit stud in the making. I kid you not. This guy is young. He has potential to be a great player. He just needs to get, we need to get it out of him. And I think he had a good season last year. He had 6 touchdowns at the end of the last season. Man, this kid can play. I'm telling you. Like, if you watch him, he's only 26 years old. He's 6'2", And I saw one game this season. I believe it was against Philadelphia. And he had a, I think he had two touchdowns that game. Definitely over like 90 yards receiving. But you can see the upside there. Like, he's shown certain flashes in that Dallas Cowboys offense this past year because he's had to step up multiple times with guys being out. And he stepped up to the challenge. I think this guy is legit, legit stud in the making. I kid you not. I think this is going to be a very, very underrated move that's just going to pop. So, Dolphin fans, gear up for Cedric Wilson. I think we really, really got a good one there. But it didn't stop there, okay? A lot of moves were made, not only by the Miami Dolphins, but by other teams as well. I mean, let's just break it down here real quick. So, we're going with Adam Schefter here. Obviously, Za'Darius Smith was released by the Green Bay Packers, which I thought was freaking shocking to me. I mean, I didn't see that coming at all. So I was definitely shocked by that, not going to lie. Jarvis Landry, obviously, being released by the Cleveland Browns. That's interesting. Like to see where Juice goes. I heard Kansas City's interested. That would be freaking scary if you match up Mahomes and Jarvis Landry. James Conner, three-year deal worth $21 million. So the Cardinals, after James Conner had a good season, decided to commit to him, let Chase Edmonds walk. I think that was a good move on their part. Obviously, they really value James Conner, and he deserved it. I mean, he balled the hell out last season. So credit to James Conner on that. Mitch Trubisky signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, my God. You guys are fucking stupid. All right. Let's move along. I'm not even going to talk about Trubisky. Anyways, deals kept coming along as the day went by. I mean, we had the 49ers free agent guard, Lankin Tomlinson, go to the New York Jets. So the New York Jets getting some offensive line help. Three-year deal worth $41.2 million. So the Jets in our division ended up making moves. And shortly after that, they brought back wide receiver Braxton Berrios on a two-year $12 million deal. $7 million guaranteed. Obviously, Berrios is a guy that's loved in the Miami community. Obviously, being a former Miami Hurricane, love Braxton Berrios. Nice to see him get a deal done. I wish it was in Miami, but he's coming back to the New York Jets. Then, Jets were also busy, honestly. They had an interesting day so far. I mean, thus far. Jaguars, how about this? Christian Kirk, four-year deal worth $84 million. Wow. That honestly shocked the hell out of me. Now, Christian Kirk, honestly, he's the type of guy that has a lot of upside, somebody like Cedric Wilson, but he's, I mean, he's only 25, and he's 5'11". But I've been waiting to see Christian Kirk pop, and I feel like he hasn't yet. But, hey, maybe the Jaguars see something in him, and let's see how it goes. But that much money, that shocked the hell out of me. I mean, this guy was a former, you know, second round pick, but damn. I mean, he's getting paid a bag. That's big. That's big money when it comes to NFL. That looks like NBA money right there. I mean, 4 years, 84? Yikes. Anyway, Seahawks bringing back Will Dissly, tight end, on a three-year deal worth $24 million. I love that move. I think Will Dissly is a solid player. Love the move for Seattle there. Brian Allen returning to the Rams on a three-year deal worth $24 million. Mo Alie-Cox going back to the Colts on a three-year deal. I only know that guy pretty much because of fantasy football, but nonetheless, Colts getting busy right there. And then this was big, big news. J.C. Jackson goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, that is just a freaking big-time move. Adding a guy like J.C. Jackson, who is pretty much one of the top five cornerbacks in the NFL, that just makes him even scarier. I mean, they got Bosa there already. They got Derwin James. They got J.C. Jackson, obviously, now. And the trade, acquiring Khalil Mack, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. I mean, that Chargers defense, I mean, they look freaking good. Former Giants tight end Evan Engram signed a one-year deal fully guaranteed for $9 million to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Jaguars, very, very active in getting some weapons on the offensive end. CJ Uzoma, I believe is his name. I don't know how to say his name, but this guy, I love this guy. I think he's a stud, and he signed a three-year deal worth $24 million to go to the New York Jets. So Zach Wilson has a little extra target there, and I think he's going to love him. I think that guy's going to do wonders in the Jets for sure. So we got to keep an eye on him. as Dolphin fans here. Former Cowboys safety Xavier Woods signs a 3-year deal with the Carolina Panthers, $15.75 million deal. Panthers definitely getting busy as well, so look out for them. They don't look to be slowing down. They look to be making moves. And it's been honestly just interesting moves. A lot of different moving parts here. You know, I'm sure I'm leaving out a couple. I'm sure a couple are going to break after I finish recording. Zay Jones, also a wide receiver, headed to the Jaguars as well. 3 years, $30 million. So Jaguars continuing to spend money on the offense. Hey, you can't get mad at that. I mean, their offense literally needs a lot of help, and that is not a surprise to anybody. They desperately need help, and those have pretty much been the moves. Those have been the big time moves. Also, Hassan Reddick, a guy who I desperately wanted to be a Miami Dolphin, he signed a 3-year deal worth $45 million to the Philadelphia Eagles. So shout out to the Eagles picking one of my guys. That's a big time move. Hassan Reddick is as solid as they come from a linebacking position. Great move there. Also, last one I wanted to mention, Quandre Diggs gets a 3-year deal worth $40 million to stay in Seattle. Seattle with another very, very good move right there. I love Diggs. Dude's a stud. And that's pretty much the only ones that I really have so far here today. Like I said, things are probably going to break as the night continues, probably early on this morning as you guys are listening to this podcast. But man, I'm telling you, really good move by the Dolphins. Really good moves by a lot of these great teams. The only surprising one that really threw me off guard was Christian Kirk. And I think Christian Kirk is a stud. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, 4 years, 84, was it? I mean, that's tough. That's tough. I don't know if I'm paying that much money for him. But there goes that from a free agency standpoint. But I talked about last time I talked to you guys, big trades have happened, and those big trades happen with the main one being Russell Wilson getting traded from Seattle to Denver. Man, that caught me by surprise. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you hear the rumblings about Russell Wilson potentially being on the trading block and potentially leaving Seattle. And to me, I kind of just felt like it wasn't going to happen. Like, I just felt like Seattle and Russell Wilson were just going to work things out with Pete Carroll. Like, he's going to be a Seahawk for life. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen. I really didn't think so. I know the rumblings were loud. I just refused to believe it, better said. But hey, the move happened, and the move happened to Denver, and Denver gave up a freaking haul. But when you think about what the Denver Broncos have and what they need, their defense is legit. Their cornerbacks are legit. Their defense is legit. Obviously, these young emerging wide receivers in Cortland Sutton and Patrick and Jerry Jeudy, and then obviously getting Javonte Williams last season, the running back. Dude, you add a quarterback to that team, and that's a championship-level team. Like, right there, you add a quarterback to that team, and they can compete for a chip. And now you're not just adding any quarterback. You're adding one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, former Super Bowl champion in Russell Wilson, who's a great locker room guy, who has championship experience, who can throw the ball, who can evade pressure, who can run, who can scramble, everything. Exactly what, like, this is exactly what Denver needed if they want to compete. So credit to Denver going all in. You know, whenever you have to give up a haul, if it results in you winning a chip, I think it's all worth it. And I think Denver is pretty much on their way. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with as long as Russell Wilson stays healthy. So big time move from Denver. And the trades didn't stop there. The next day, Carson Wentz ended up being traded from the Colts to the Washington Commanders. That is definitely going to take some time for me to get used to. Washington picking up Carson Wentz. I think that is a desperate move, honestly. Carson Wentz, to me, he's just not good. He's not good at all. He makes too many mistakes. He's not a guy I trust. You know, there was a certain point in early in his career where I thought Carson Wentz was like a steal. Like, I was like, holy shit, like Carson Wentz really in Philly, that MVP year. But man, I'm telling you, injuries happen, and then ever since then, he comes back, and even if he's healthy, I mean, some of the decisions that Wentz made, you know, the ability to not just take a sack, just try to throw it away, and there's too many red flags there. I don't think Washington really I think they're just desperate. I mean, for you to make a move for Carson Wentz, even after his Colts like season, it wasn't even good. Like, come on, what do you see? Pure desperation, in my opinion. I'm not too worried about that. Big move, though, came last Thursday, and that's Khalil Mack going from the Chicago Bears to the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, that right there, big-time move, especially now hearing after free agency that they get J.C. Jackson. I mean, how loaded is that defense? You talk about that offense already, who has Austin Eckler, Justin Herbert, who's a freaking stud, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and now you're about to add to a defense that already has Derwin James, Bosa, J.C. Jackson now, and Khalil Mack. Man, I'm telling you, that division is probably the best division in the NFL. I mean, that's just must-see TV. You're talking about the Chargers with that team that I just said. You talk about the Chiefs. You're not counting out the Chiefs. I mean, they have Patrick Mahomes, and they're the fucking Chiefs, right? The Raiders are all right, okay? But the last one is the Broncos. And the Broncos just got Russell Wilson. So you have a division with the Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, and Chargers. With these stud teams, oh, I think that's going to be so fun. And they all get to face each other twice, guaranteed, throughout the season. So I'm sure primetime is going to be filled with those AFC West matchups. I believe they're in the West. Yeah, they're going to be filled with them. And that's going to be freaking fun to watch. So those three trades happened. Free agency starting yesterday happened. Man, NFL has been popping. And not only that, a couple of big time names decided to come back to their respective teams. One being Aaron Rodgers reaching a deal and agreement to come back to Green Bay to pretty much, it seems to be like he wants to finish his career in Green Bay. And credit to the Packers organization, credit to Aaron Rodgers, and credit to the fan base, even though I'm a little salty because, you know, I wanted Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the Dolphins. But, you know, once Mike McDaniel became the guy, I pretty much knew at that point they were all in on Tua, and I put that to rest. But, hey, Aaron Rodgers, at least we can cut out the whole diva shit, the in and out, the one-year deal, maybe leaving. Just stay in Green Bay. I mean, it's the right thing to do. Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is Green Bay. Nice to see him go back there. Stop the whole diva shit and just go play football. Try to win another chip, man. I mean, you know, you're one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and you only have one championship. Like, get to work. Stop blaming other people for mistakes. Packers got a lot to prove to me, as you can tell. I mean, I'm sick of the Packers having a great season and then losing. Go win one, Aaron Rodgers. Win one. That's it. But news didn't stop there. Another big-time quarterback made a decision, and that being the GOAT, Tom Brady, announcing his return to come back to the NFL, coming out of retirement, only retired for about 40 fucking days. He said, fuck it, I'm coming back. I had a good feeling that wasn't going to last. Like, for so long, I just said, is Brady really going to go out like that? I feel like he has to get that standing ovation from everybody. Like, people have to know that it's going to be his last season so they can attend these games in a different way than they would before and things like that. I feel like he deserves it. He kind of deserves that Kobe Bryant treatment that he had. Rest in peace, Kobe. Remember Kobe, everywhere he went, you know, people just standing ovations all the time and, you know, sending him out the right way. I think Brady deserves that type of treatment. I think he's earned that type of treatment. Now, I know Dolphin fans are probably pissed the hell off that I'm saying this because Dolphin fans hate Tom Brady. And I understand it. I get it. You know, being a Dolphin fan, I get it. But he's not a New England Patriot no more. Okay? You got to let that shit go. You know, you got to let it go. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If he was still a New England Patriot, I would not be saying this shit right now. That's 100%. All right, so don't get it twisted. But the fact that he left the Patriots, he's not even in our division, not even in our conference. He's in the NFC in Tampa. Why not? Just fuck it. Enjoy it. Appreciate greatness. I mean, this guy is incredible. What he's been able to do throughout his career, what he's still doing at this age, at the level he's doing it at, it's amazing. Like, I'm appreciating the hell out of the greatness that I'm seeing. I don't take that shit for granted because it's not every day that you're going to get a type of guy that wins 7 championships and plays so long in his career and dominates so good. Like, this is legit GOAT status. He's the fucking GOAT. No doubt about it. And this is the type of shit that you want to tell, you know, your kids or your grandkids. Like, yo, I got to watch Tom Brady. Like, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Because it's almost coming to an end. So, Dolphin fans, just let it go. Let it go. The GOAT is back. I think Brady's going to do big things this year. If he wins another one, that would be sick. But I guess we'll see. So very busy, busy, busy week in the NFL when it comes to free agency, when it comes to these trades. And then we have an NFL draft next month. I mean, we have all of this news and we still got draft stuff to get into next month. That's crazy. That's crazy. So one quick thing, a couple quick things here. Free agency, overall, love the moves by the Miami Dolphins. I thought they were all nice moves, but we're still missing one thing, in my opinion. Two things, honestly. Missing an offensive lineman. Please, give me Teron Armstead. Give me Morgan Moses. One of those two. We definitely need a veteran presence and a veteran offensive tackle. We can't go into the draft trying to figure it out from there. It has not worked in the past. I'm sick of it. You can go draft guards in the draft or a center. Or both, but get a tackle in free agency. You got the money, go spend it. Also, I want help in the inside linebacker position. Obviously, I wanted Hassan Reddick from the jump. He goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think there's other guys out there. I heard names like Quan Alexander. That would be a nice addition, so keep an eye on those. Hopefully, by the time I put out this podcast, we'll be signing Armstead and Quan Alexander or something like that, something of that sort. Obviously, those are the positions that I want the Dolphins to address here in free agency. And then when it comes to draft, I will be doing mock drafts here starting next week leading up to the draft. So a lot of names that I want to get into, a lot of names that I want to keep an eye on, and I'll be sharing those mock drafts over the next couple weeks with you guys for sure. But if you guys do know any guys that you like in the draft that you think fit for the Miami Dolphins system, let me know, please. Like, drop me some names. I love looking at this type of stuff, and I'm obviously going to be diving in. So if you think I should keep an eye on a certain player, shoot it over to me on Twitter or wherever you can find me at, Facebook. Let me know. Let me know. And I won't be doing a mock draft here today, but like I said, next week I'll definitely dive into that, but I will give you guys the needs that I'm looking for the Dolphins to address when it comes to the draft. No particular order, but I'm looking for the Dolphins to add, obviously, offensive line help. I want another pass rusher here, another young pass rusher. I want a linebacker as well, a wide receiver, and a running back. Main thing, I want a pass rusher and a linebacker for sure. I want the offensive line to be solidified, but I really want it in free agency. I'm trying to get a young linebacker and a young pass rusher in here for sure. Definitely another wide receiver as well. Cedric Wilson might cause the Dolphins to think a little bit differently when it comes to the draft, and maybe Chase Edmond as well. Maybe we'll go drafting, you know, wide receiver and running backs a little bit later. So maybe we'll go linebacker and pass rush with those first two picks. We'll see, but like I said, I'm going to dive into a whole bunch of draft stuff coming up, leading up all the way into the draft. So yeah, let me know if you guys, you know anybody that I should keep an eye on or things like that. Draft stuff, please send them my way. But hey, what a week in the NFL. And even though the NFL season is back, you can just taste it, you know, hearing all these signings, reading all these signings, and you can't just help but just be excited. All right, so let's get into some Miami Heat and NBA talk. So the NBA season, you can officially really see that finish line as it's almost there. 13 games remaining in this NBA season for our Miami Heat. And what better time to get healthy than now? I mean, it's so nice to see this team fully healthy. You got Victor Oladipo, who made his return, which I talked about on the last podcast. Markieff Morris missed about over 50 games on that Jokic cheap shot. He returned to the mix this past weekend. And we're pretty much now full and complete. This is how our roster is going to look heading into the playoffs. And it's so nice to see. Obviously, 13 games remaining on the schedule. It's going to be really interesting to see those guys get into a groove, develop a rhythm, especially Morris and Oladipo, because we're going to need those guys down the stretch. And God forbid any injuries of that sort, having two reliable guys like that is going to be awesome and key down the stretch. So we got a game tonight against the Detroit Pistons, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But let's talk about like a nice little recap on this past week. So since I last talked to you guys, it was when Victor Oladipo made his return against the Rockets, which we talked about was awesome. Great to see Vic back. Great to see the energy in the crowd. That was big time. But we had a game on Wednesday, and it was on primetime television, and it was against the Phoenix Suns. Now, the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat have this little bit of a rivalry. You've seen it on Twitter now. It's kind of maybe not a rivalry within them, but you can tell there's something there between the fan bases. So fan base has been going back and forth, talking about the crowds, talking about which team is better, which team is deeper. Listen, if it's me, my opinion, I think these are the two deepest teams in the NBA, honestly. When you look at the Phoenix Suns and what they're able to do without, you know, with Booker missing some time, with Paul missing some time, and also the Heat with Bam, Jimmy, and whatever, I think these two teams are honestly neck and neck. Obviously, I think they're really even. When you look at the two matchups they face each other this year, we blew them out once, they blew us out. Honestly, two incredible teams, two respectable teams, two teams who I, obviously, the Heat are my team, but I have a lot of respect for the Phoenix Suns and what they've been doing, and especially last year as well. But we took them on Wednesday, and we did pick up a loss 111-90. We got smacked, and obviously, the whole effort level there, you hate to see that. And that's been something that you don't really see this season where the Heat gets smacked, but hey, they sure did. But credit to the Heat, they were able to bounce back just a night later on Friday night, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers at home, and Bam Adebayo, man, finished in with 30 points, 17 rebounds, shot 11 for 16 from the field. I mean, this dude was just imposing his will down low, and that's something that you absolutely love to see. Jimmy Butler chimed in with 24 points of his own. Tyler Hero won another 20-plus game off the bench. He finished with 22. Max Strus added 5 threes, and we were able to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been hot pretty much. So pretty good bounce back win there. And then that set up the game, second night of a back-to-back on Saturday, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, you know, this young team in Minnesota just always seems to get up for these games against us. I don't know what it is, but they always do, and they did it yet again. The Timberwolves come into our house and beat us 113-104. I was absolutely pissed that we lost this game. It's something about playing the Timberwolves where I just always want to beat their ass, and I feel like they really are this scrappy bunch year after year that just always tend to sneak us, and nobody even popped off for a big game. I mean, they just had some well-rounded scoring. Like, they would not go away and stop making shots. I mean, if you look at the box score, Anthony Edwards had 15, Karl Towns had 15, D'Angelo Russell had 14, Beasley had 12 points, McDaniel had 14 points, Noel off the bench, 16 points, Naz Reid, 11 points, Prince, 11 points. Like, everybody pretty much had 10, like about a little bit over 10 points, and they all chimed in and they got the win against the Heat. I mean, credit to them. Obviously, very bad game for us. Jimmy Butler didn't play, but that's no excuse. I mean, you should still beat this Timberwolves team, even though you played a back-to-back, even though Jimmy was out. Bam Adebayo had a good game, 19 points, 12 rebounds. Tyler Hero had an amazing game. What else is new? 6 three-pointers off the bench, finished with 30 points, 7 rebounds, but ultimately, not enough. Max Strus had another game with 5 three-pointers. Duncan Robinson had a 1-for-6 night. Gabe Vincent had a 1-for-8 night. When Jimmy Butler's out and people are out, you can't have games like that. So pretty much that was the reason why we lost. Markieff Morris did make his return. Obviously, he had 17 minutes, 3-of-7 from the field, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, picked up 2 fouls. But I honestly like what I saw from Morris. I mean, you're able to come back right into the mix, not shoot your team in the foot, provide 3 buckets, which you love to see, a couple of pick and pop actions you saw. So, like, nice to see this team as a whole together. Victor Oladipo did miss that game. He didn't play second night of a back-to-back, but it's fine. You know, 2 losses out of the last 3, you can panic all you want. I don't think you should. Obviously, I'm just happy that we're able to have this team fully healthy because, like I said, finish line is right there, and you're really, really going to have to turn it up. So things I'm looking for, Morris to get comfortable. I'm looking for Oladipo to get comfortable. And I already know what I'm going to get from the rest of the guys. And yet again, I am rooting for Duncan Robinson to get a rhythm. We need this man hot getting into the playoffs, but we'll talk about that a different time. Let's preview the matchups this week. So tonight we have a game, and that is going against the Detroit Pistons. This game's at home. Majority of the games this month is going to be at home. Pistons are a bad team. I mean, they're 18-50. You guys know who watched the NBA. The Pistons are a joke. But they can beat us. They've beat us before. These teams tend to sneak up on the Heat. So I don't think that will be the case. Pistons not good. You only really need to worry about Jeremy Grant. Other than that, Cade Cunningham, he has a couple games where he can pop, but I honestly don't believe him. Sadiq Bey, now that dude is a true baller, honestly. I don't think he gets enough credit, but that man can really change a game. That's somebody to watch out for. But I think the Heat should have their way, and that sets us up for a couple days off after that, which is good. Then you're taking on a scrappy young Oklahoma City Thunder team. Now, the Thunder also having a bad season. They're 20-47, but when you look at their roster, this is pretty much what you expect. But man, do they have a young guard in Josh Giddey and a young guard in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Obviously, Kentucky guy. Those two guys right there, I mean, they're awesome. They can get buckets. They can play make for others. They can rebound the ball. Two really young guards that can really change a game. But it's the same thing. I mean, we're the way better team here, so I'm not too worried about that. But I like watching the Thunder, honestly. They're just a scrappy young team that can really get after it. And you can tell, like, there's going to be a certain time where people are not going to be making fun of the Thunder no more. They just need to stay the course. But I'll be looking forward to that game on Friday. And then that's it. I mean, only two games this week, tonight and Friday. A lot of days off to get some rest. Next Monday, we will be playing Philly in Philly. That's definitely a game to watch out for. As you know, James Harden over there now, Joel Embiid, obviously, probably leading candidate for the MVP. And then winning in Philly would be beautiful to do. So look for that matchup as well. And then other news last week, I mean, throughout the NBA, there was a lot of fun things that happened. And it pretty much started on Thursday, where Ben Simmons made his return to Philadelphia, not playing though, but he did make his return in attendance, traveling with the team, which I was shocked by, honestly. First of all, you know, him not playing in Philly was because of the crowd. So him showing up there, I was like, man, I don't know. Philly's crazy. Like, are they going to throw things at him? Not that I'm saying you should, but I was just like, you know, Philly crowds are crazy. And I was just surprised that Ben Simmons was going, especially not playing, like just as a visitor sitting there on the bench as a, you know, quote unquote, easy target to have somebody throw some popcorn on him or whatever it is. Like, you know, Philly fans are just crazy, but nothing happened, thankfully, just a lot of boos, a lot of crazy chants. You know, the fuck Ben Simmons chants were crazy. I mean, I couldn't expect nothing less from Philadelphia fans, but hey, the Brooklyn Nets showed up and they kicked their ass. I don't know if they were doing it for Ben Simmons or not, but the Nets definitely showed up and Ben Simmons ultimately did get the last laugh. He had nothing to stress about. It was an easy going, knowing that your team had your back and you busted the Sixers' ass. That's all there was. And I honestly knew that was going to happen. I mean, to me, it was pretty much almost a no-brainer that Kevin Durant was going to pop off and the Nets were going to win this game. I think it meant more for the Nets. You know, James Harden basically saying he doesn't want to play for you guys anymore. You playing on this Sixers team that's getting all the hype. People are doubting you and the Nets. You know, KD gets up for games like that. So the Nets, credit to the Nets, beating the Sixers on Thursday night. And then how about Friday? I mean, the next night, why not have something else to talk about and watch as LeBron James dropped 50 on the Washington Wizards? I mean, that was awesome to see. Just this old man putting up these 50-point performances. Now, that's two times in 6 days. I mean, because the week before that against the Warriors on Saturday night, he put up 54. And now getting another 50 piece just a couple days later. I mean, that's truly amazing. It was awesome to watch. I'm telling you something, like, I don't like LeBron James. I say it all the time, but when LeBron James is hot and LeBron James is popping off 50 points and making shots, like, that shit is awesome to see. That's another thing where I appreciate greatness at that time. So obviously his time is winding down. I don't know how far he is, but you can tell, like, you're really going to have to appreciate these 50-point performances. If this man is doing it at this age, I got nothing but respect for that. So I enjoyed it watching Bron get 50. That was nice. That was nice to see. Does he have more in him? I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, the way I'm seeing LeBron play right now, it's incredible, first of all. I mean, to play like that at this age and with this team, it's incredible. But it looks like, honestly, LeBron's tapping into some different shit. It really looks like LeBron just says, you know, fuck playing the right way, because if I play the right way, this team sucks and isn't going to help me. So I'm just going to fucking go get mine. And that's the mindset that I truly think LeBron James is having. It's just protecting his own image, making it seem like, you know, LeBron had a fucking amazing year and he had no help. I think LeBron's okay with having that title and maybe a change of mindset. Hey, I'm enjoying it. When Bron is out there trying to score 30, 40 every game, that shit is fun to watch, honestly. Like, I rather watch that. So I'm enjoying it, especially since they're, you know, also losing a lot of games. But, you know, you get to watch these performances here and there. You sign me up. I've been watching some Lakers basketball. And then the next night, another special performance. Man, I mean, the performances this past week were crazy. Saturday night in Golden State, the Warriors beating the Milwaukee Bucks behind Klay Thompson dropping 38 points with 8 three-pointers. He was absolutely on one. Beautiful to see the Splash Brother in Klay Thompson back in action and then popping off threes left and right. In the big stage, primetime television, ESPN, Klay Thompson putting on a show. Beautiful to watch. The purest jump shooter in the NBA. When you talk about catch and shoot, Klay Thompson just lights it up. Love watching Klay. Love watching the Warriors. And Draymond Green returning Monday night here. Man, Golden State, watch out for them. Because Draymond Green with Klay and Curry on his left and right, man. Man, I will definitely be talking about them more on the podcast as the next, you know, few weeks come by for sure. So Klay Thompson dropping 38 on Saturday night. That was special to watch. Sunday, do we have another crazy performance in us? Damn right. Kevin Durant drops 53 on the Knicks head on Sunday. Crazy, crazy, crazy. To me, honestly, the best scorer, the best player in the NBA. Nobody can stop this man. This man being that tall, that long, being able to shoot, rebound, create, what he's able to do is just amazing. And man, just to think that he's doing this, you know, what he did last year was amazing. Now what he's doing this year, this dude is coming off the Achilles injury. Like, are you fucking serious? Yo, Kevin Durant is the fucking stud. He's such a joy to watch. Obviously when he's not playing the Heat, but man, dropping 53 against the Knicks, that's big time. And then the Suns just absolutely killing the Lakers to end Sunday night with 140 points. I mean, they had 119 at the end of the third quarter. Like, I've never seen some shit like that. But hey, Anthony Davis has some crazy words to say that the Suns basically got lucky that he got hurt. And if he didn't get hurt, then they wouldn't have beat him. Careful what you wish for, man, because the Suns just said, you know what, fuck this. We're going to take this shit personal and just killed the Lakers. I mean, this game was over quick. First quarter, I mean, the Suns were just killing them. And hey, Anthony Davis needs to just watch his mouth, honestly. Like, stop talking shit. Just be about it. Play the game. Get back healthy. You're always hurt. Play the Suns in the playoffs and eliminate them. Stop talking this shit that if I was there, this and that. If you know what I mean? Like, that shit is old already. Like, you just be about it. Go ahead and do it. Show us that way. Go ahead, get healthy, eliminate the Suns, then talk your shit. But this whole if and but this, but that, miss me with that bullshit, man. But let's talk about the top three games of the week, in my opinion, that I'm looking forward to seeing. Wednesday night, the Celtics taking on the Golden State Warriors in Golden State. Wednesday, 10 p.m. game in on ESPN. The Celtics have been on a defensive tear lately. Jason Tatum's been playing well. He's been playing better as a facilitator as well. And just their defensive rating that the Celtics have been pouring on. I mean, they're locking up teams left and right. They're playing phenomenal together, hitting the right stride at the right time. So I'm looking forward to seeing the C's go against the Golden State Warriors, especially now that Draymond Green is back. I mean, watching the Splash Brothers with Draymond Green, that original big three there, I am going to watch every single game, every single one. I don't take that for granted. That's just beautiful basketball to watch. So I'll be locked in that game for sure. ESPN, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Next game, second game I'm looking forward to the most is the Chicago Bulls taking on the Phoenix Suns on Friday night on 10 p.m. I believe this game is on NBA TV, if I'm not mistaken. I'll definitely be locked into that. Suns, obviously, Devin Booker, somebody who I love watching. Obviously, their chemistry is amazing, them being first place in the Western Conference, and then taking on a Chicago Bulls team who has talent, who has Caruso, who just came back into the mix, Zach LaVine, who's doing his thing, DeMar DeRozan, I mean, MVP candidate himself, DeMar DeRozan. So a lot of star power there, a lot of fun action. Maybe you could get Devin Booker and DeMar DeRozan going blow for blow at the end. I'm going to be excited to see that. I think you guys should definitely be locked into that. And then last is a Sunday game. This game, not too spicy like the other ones, but I think it's still fun. And that's the Boston Celtics taking on the Denver Nuggets in Denver. Obviously, I raved about the Celtics a little while ago. Same reason goes for that. Like, I like watching Jason Tatum. And now you're going against Denver in Denver, which is a tough place to play in. And Nikola Jokic is having an amazing fucking season. So I think Denver's playing good basketball, playing the best with what they have. Michael Malone's doing a phenomenal job. And just, I think this is going to be a tough, tough test for Boston to go to Denver and beat this team. And that's why I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's going to be a close game. Definitely something to look forward to on Sunday. And those are my three games of the week. NBA season coming to an end. Everybody has about 13 or 15 games left remaining. I suggest you lock into the NBA because things are really, really getting spicy. All right, so that's a wrap. Episode 61. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning into this podcast, keeping it locked in right here on the Miami Sports Vibes podcast. Remember, as I said in my NFL segment, seriously, guys, if you guys have mock drafts that you want to share with me or have any certain type of players that you think would be a great fit for the Dolphins or who I should keep an eye on, shoot them over to me, please, please, please. I would like to know, want to get a look at different guys here and there. I've already had a couple names being brought my way. I believe Taylen Burks is one wide receiver. Drake London, who's a wide receiver as well. Obviously, you guys know I'm a Kenneth Walker guy, but there's a running back. I believe James Cook is the name that's been brought to my attention. I'm looking forward to diving deep into that guy, sharing a lot of my thoughts on it on next week's podcast. Like I said, more mock drafts to come. Well, getting started with mock drafts. But yeah, let's have some fun with this, guys. Make it a great week. And once again, thanks for listening to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast with Nando Diaz.